So it's kind of cool that we're the message for today is celebrate for life, because we're celebrating 14 years and we're celebrating some other stuff. And as I was looking it up this week, especially, what I noticed is how much God calls for celebration. I don't know if you want to look it up. I did some research this week, and it actually was very interesting, because we know that he's set aside the Sabbath day as a day of celebration of him and his goodness and of rest. So he built that into our calendars that we would have a day of celebration every week. But in addition to that, he prescribes 7 different major celebrations throughout the year as part of the Jewish calendar. And here's the cool thing, 6 out of the 7 involve feasting. Woo-hoo. I mean, we're church people. We like to eat, right? That's the way it is. Like we're going to show today. It's part of the calendar of our lives that God wants us to celebrate events. He wants us to celebrate wins, if you will. He wants us to celebrate his goodness. He wants us to celebrate when we can look back and say, look what he did. Look what God did. And we can celebrate that. And so, but I didn't want to get into those this week. If you want to research it, you can look up the 7 feasts of the Jewish calendar, and you will find what every feast represents. It was kind of interesting because there's one celebration for the beginning of harvest and one celebration for the end of the harvest. I just found that interesting. And there's a lot to learn there. But I want to talk about something a little different in the New Testament. One of my favorite stories that I think is pretty overlooked is when Jesus celebrated with his disciples. We're going to look at Luke 9 first, Luke 9, 1 through 10. And in that passage, we see Jesus define the win. That's the first point on your program if you want to follow along on your note page. He defined the win. And sometimes we forget to define a win, don't we? What are we aiming for? What are we shooting for? What are we going to call a win? And he did this in Luke 9, 1 and 2. It says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. I happen to like that word all. Might want to highlight that, circle it, underline it, however you like to mark it. All demons and all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said, here's the win. I'm going to give you authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. Now here's your job. Here's the win. Go out and tell everyone about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. I love that he so clearly laid out what a win was. You tell people about the kingdom of God and you heal the sick. That's it. That's your win. He didn't give this long list of don't do this, don't do that. He did give some instructions after that. Don't take a walking stick, you know, don't take extra baggage or whatever. So he did give instruction, but I like that he pared it down at the very beginning. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and tell people about the kingdom of God, and I want you to heal the sick. Made it simple. Anybody can remember that, right? I like that. I like that he brought them together and he said, okay, here's what I'm wanting you to do. I'm giving you the authority to do it, and now go and do it. So we define the win. Number 2, pick up the baton and run. Some of us then would go into committee meetings after verse 2 and talk about strategy and talk about this and talk about that and talk about this and talk about that. And there comes a point where you just have to pick up the baton and run. And know that you're going to make some mistakes along the way. You're going to learn some good things along the way. You're going to learn some things not to do. But at some point, you've just got to pick up the baton and go for it, right? I think we get analysis paralysis in the church way often. Well, what if God didn't really mean this? And what does the kingdom of God look like? Let's have a 12-year class on what the kingdom of God looks like. You know, I laugh because I'm one of those people. I'm wired that way on some level. But at some point, you just have to pick up the baton and run. We see this in verse 6. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. I love that that is laid out so clearly there. Jesus said, go tell people about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And then when they pick up the baton and run, what do we see them doing? Telling people about the kingdom of God and healing the sick. Win. That's a win. See, Jesus defined it for them, and they picked up the baton and ran. They didn't say, well, what about this? Why aren't you going with us? We don't understand why you're not going with us. Why would you do this? Why would you do it this way? What does the kingdom of God mean? Can you give us more information about what the kingdom of God looks like? And what if I pray for someone and they don't get healed? Then what? Have you ever had that thought? Because I have. And sometimes the fear of not understanding the kingdom of God correctly and the fear of failure of someone not getting healed keeps us from actually praying for people to get healed. What is the win? The win is telling people about the kingdom of God and healing the sick. So let's say I pray for 1,000 people and only one gets healed. Win. I healed the sick. Now, I want to get to the place where every person I pray for is healed. I do. And every time I pray for someone and they don't get healed, I go back into my prayer closet. I'm like, God, help me understand. Help me understand this. I don't want to blame them. It's not their fault. Don't tell them there's sin in their life. That you never see that in Scripture. No. I just want to understand it. How can I heal all the sick? Because you tell me to. Point number 3. This is the part that I think is my favorite. Celebrate the win together. And it's kind of nestled in there so fast that it's easy to forget that it's there. Verse 10. When the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. Now, this is Jesus we're talking about. He has been healing the sick and raising the dead for 3 years in front of them. And so what could they possibly have to say to him that he hadn't already experienced? But I love that he gathered them all together and let them tell him about their wins. Listen to what happened, Jesus. I love that. I just think that's such a beautiful picture of Jesus. And we need to get better and better at celebrating wins with people. And when they start telling us their stories of wins, instead of saying, "What I did this, I did that," you don't see that here. You just see Jesus listening and celebrating with them. Just listening instead of saying, "Well, you could have done better. You could have done this," or you could, no. He just listened and celebrated with them. Then he slipped quietly away with them toward the town of Bethsaida. I love that. I love that he laid out the win, that he told them what it looked like, then he sent them out and let them go do it, and then when they came back, they sat down together and processed together. But then it was interesting because I came across some cautions after a win. Because whenever you have a big win, almost always you have to be cautious about two different things happening. Point A, competing with each other. Have you ever seen that happen in the church before? Where you have this big event that comes off so well, and there's just so many wins around it. There's so many wins, and all of a sudden people get real competitive with each other. I've seen it so many times. And it happened in Scripture here in Luke 9. This is the same chapter, you understand. A few verses down the way, it says, then his disciples began arguing about which of them was the greatest. Such humanity showing right there. You can go out and heal all the sick and cast out all the demons, and then you get back together and you're like, oh, I'm better than you. I did more healings than you. I did better healings than you. But Jesus knew their thoughts. So he brought a little child to his side. Then he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me also welcomes my Father who has sent me. Whoever is the least among you is the greatest." It was like he said, be careful. This is not about competing with each other. You need to have the heart of a child. The heart of a child is that when there's a win, they're going to celebrate. They don't care who's responsible for the win. They're just going to celebrate because they love to party for anything. They just like to celebrate. Give me a reason. You know, you want a month long birthday? I'll celebrate with you. Because that's the heart of a child doesn't care who's greatest or who's least. The heart of a child is there something to celebrate? Let's celebrate. And Jesus said, be careful. You need to become like a child when you're winning. You need to become like a child. The other thing that happens frequently after a win is competing with others. This cracks me up too. John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group." What? But Jesus said, "Don't stop him. Anyone who is not against you is for you." Now, I'll just speak from a pastor's heart right now. I have to regularly check myself when I hear about other churches that are having great success. Because there's this part of my heart that's like, well, I'm happy for them, but what about us? We work hard too. We're doing this, you know. It's so easy for us to get in this mentality that if people aren't in our group, then we better not celebrate. And I tell you, in Cleveland, there's been a beautiful thing happening, I would say, in the last 2 years, where a lot of that is being broken down. And we're learning to celebrate the success of another body of believers. Jesus says, as long as they're not against us, they're for us. Are they doing a good work? Then celebrate it. I mean, can you imagine how crazy the disciples are? Hey, we don't want them using your name to cast demons out of people. Wait, why not? Because you're not the one doing it? Like, what is wrong with that? And yet it's very easy for us to get in that mentality, well, they're not part of our group. So let's figure out what's wrong with them because they're not part of our group. That's what the disciples were saying. Yeah, they're using your name and they're casting out devils, but we don't like them because we don't know them. And Jesus said, no. When you have a win, you celebrate the win without competing with each other and without competing against others as well. And then point five, multiply the capacity for wins. The very next chapter, I love that at the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus sends 12 people out. But look at the beginning of chapter 10. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. Do you see what he did? He went from sending 12 out to 72 plus 12, 84 people out in pairs. You see, he multiplied the capacity for wins. Some of us in churches, what we tend to do is we get really good at sending 12 out. But we don't remember that we need to multiply the capacity for wins by increasing that. You don't have to be a pastor here to go out and heal the sick and tell people about the kingdom of God. I've told you before, how many ministers are there in this church? Everybody should raise their hand. Every one of you is a minister. Every one of you. And he did this here. He made it clear. He chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. I wanted to share with you because it's our 14th anniversary and because I just wanted to share with you. There is a young man that we support here from Oak River Church who used to be one of our attenders, but now he went to college, graduated, and now he's in full-time ministry at Bowling Green University. And I said, Joe, we support him every month. We send support to him with what you give, we're able to give out to other ministries. And he's one of seven, I think, total that we give to every month. And I contacted him this week or last week on Facebook. And I said, hey, Joe, can you make a little video and just give us an update on some wins that you've had in your ministry as a missionary to college campuses? And so he made one for us, and we're going to share that with you so you can see it now.
Joe Gallagher here. Just want to say congratulations on 14 amazing years in ministry. When I think about just my life and my development as a man and as a leader, being a part of your community and seeing you love God and love people in an amazing way really helped form me in my leadership development and as a follower of Jesus. And so I love you guys so much. I'm so proud of you and excited for what God has in store for you over the next years to come. And so just want to update you about what's happening with me as a Oak River alumni. I'm here at Bowling Green, Ohio with H2O Church. And for those of you who don't know, H2O is a college-focused church, and we're part of a network that helps plant churches right on college campuses. And so a couple big wins for us over the last few years. Over the last 2 years, we've helped plant three other H2O churches at Wright State, at Akron, and then at Madison, Wisconsin, which is just crazy to think about how God has formed these churches and using these leaders and building them up and sending them out to be a light and to reach college students tomorrow. And a cool story, too. I had a guy named Mike Ross, who I helped disciple over the last few years, and he was so pumped to move back home to the Dayton area and help plant the Wright State H2O down there and be a part of that plant and see what God's doing. And so that's just one example of how college students are just getting behind this mission and what God is doing here. Along with that too, just even what's been exciting too is seeing all the baptisms. Over the last 3 years, we've seen each year 50 students baptized, and we're hoping to hit that mark again this year with our baptism service in 2 weeks. And so please be praying for that as we're excited to see people publicly declare their walk with Jesus. And then on a personal note, many of you know I'm getting married July 9th, which me and Sammy are just so excited about, just to celebrate with our family and friends our marriage and what God's going to do in our family. And so along with that too, I'm going to get commissioned with H2O in the fall, which basically means it's just one step closer to becoming a pastor. And eventually me and Sammy want to go plant a church as well on a college campus and see where God takes us. And so love you guys. So proud of you. Excited that you're celebrating 14 years together as a family. I love you. Hope to see you guys soon.
Isn't that awesome? It's beautiful when you can multiply the capacity for wins, because if you've spent any time on a college campus recently, you know they need churches. They need churches on college campuses. And the reason we support him is because if you have a church body of 1,000 college kids, how many of you know the income for that group is not going to be that high? Because when I was in college, like, my tithe was like $20 at best, you know? And so they need support to keep going, but they're making a difference on college campuses. We have a part in that, Oak River, because every week we send support, every month we send support to him. We have a part. You have a part in that. Every time you write a check or text to give, now that we have text to giving, I just did that for the first time this morning. Every time you give to Oak River, you are helping support missionary Joe Gallagher on college campuses. I mean, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Jesus also took some time to clarify the win after sending the 72 out, because he said this in Luke 10:16, said, Then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me, and anyone who rejects you is rejecting me, and anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. I love that he did that. Because it was like he was saying, your job is to go out and tell people about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Your win is not defined by whether or not they accept you. That's huge for us to remember. Because when we go out and tell people about the kingdom of God, it's easy for us to say it wasn't a win if they don't accept what we're saying. And Jesus said, I want to clarify something right up front for you here. The win is you doing what I've asked you to do. The win is not whether or not they accept you. And that's just good to remember. Obviously, we pray that we live in such a way that people will accept what we say. We pray that we communicate in such a way that they embrace the good news. But ultimately, Jesus said, the win is not defined by whether or not they believe. The win is defined by your obedience. Just go do what I've told you to do and celebrate that. And then point seven, celebrate some more. Celebrate some more. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Can you imagine to hear Jesus say to the 72 who just came back, they said, this was amazing. I can just see them all gathered around talking. They're like, this was amazing. Even demons obeyed what we said when we used your name. And Jesus said, yep, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What? While you were out ministering, I saw the enemy fall. Wow. Wow, that just blows my mind. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Some of us just need to remember that. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. He said, listen. Keep the main thing the main thing. I'm celebrating with you that I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, but keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is you are part of a new kingdom. Don't keep your focus on the enemy. Keep your focus on the kingdom. I heard Bill Johnson say one time, he said, I don't talk about the devil. I don't talk about the devil. I don't look at the devil except long enough to get the crosshairs put on him. That's the only time I look at him is to get the crosshairs centered on him. Sometimes, you know, we talk too much about the enemy. We just do. Jesus said, keep the main thing the main thing. He celebrated. Woohoo! That's awesome. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But remember, don't celebrate that as much as you celebrate that your names are in heaven. You're part of a new kingdom. You're part of a new way of doing things now. At that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, any of you wonder what that looked like? Because I wonder what that looked like. Jesus being filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Did it look like Jerry looked at the end of service last week when he couldn't stop laughing? Maybe. Maybe Jesus started laughing. Maybe he, I don't know. What does it look like? I want to know more of what that looked like. But I know it wasn't like this. Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit when he heard this, and he said, oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. Jesus said, I am so happy. That people like this get to share the kingdom. People who are childlike, who don't think they have all the answers, who don't think they understand it all. They're just like kids. When I tell them to go out and talk about the kingdom of God and heal the sick, they go, okay, let's go. And they go. And then they come back and go, you're not going to believe this. This is awesome. And Jesus is overwhelmed with the joy of the Holy Spirit at looking at these precious 72 or 84, if the other 12 went with them, you know, looking at them and celebrating what's happened through them in their lives and in the lives of others. And then a little later on in the chapter, just a few verses down, he says, then when they were alone, he turned to the disciples and said, blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. I love that passage because it's like Jesus says, do you have any idea how lucky you are? Some Christians don't like that word lucky. I don't have a problem with it so much. If you want to say blessed instead of lucky, go ahead and do that. But Jesus says, do you have any idea how many prophets and kings of old longed in their gut, longed to see what you have just seen and longed to hear what you have heard? I think that came out of his joy. And sometimes I think we as people, part of celebrating for life is that we need to regularly look around and say, do we have any idea how blessed we are? Do we have any idea the wins that are in our lives? Well, this person has more. Don't go to competing with each other. Celebrate what is instead of moaning about what isn't. Celebrate what is. Celebrate what you have instead of crying about what you don't have. Celebrate what you know instead of what you don't know. It's such a key to life, I'm telling you. And I have to regularly remind myself of this. It's not like I've accomplished this and now my life is all perfect. Regularly, I have to say, okay, Sandy, celebrate what you do have. Celebrate what you do have. Celebrate what you know. Celebrate what is. Just celebrate that. Get really good at celebrating those things. And that's what Jesus made clear here. I am so convinced that you and I are living in an age that in heaven, the prophets and the kings and the disciples are looking down and going, oh man, I wish I could be alive on the earth right now. I wish I could be alive on the earth right now to see what I'm seeing. For those of you who don't know, there's a couple of posters up. There's an event happening in Cleveland in July called Azusa Now. Mark it on your calendars, July 22nd and 23rd. It's going to be at the Q, where all these churches come together and set aside a day for worshiping the Lord and sharing his goodness. Right? It's so cool because it happened last year in LA in the Coliseum, and a lot of you watched it here. I watched it after because I was at the retreat when it happened. But I could feel the Holy Spirit through the delayed recording. Like a week later when I was watching it, I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. And the guy who put it together in LA last year, Lou Engel is his name, he said, I want to go to Ohio because Ohio is the heart of the nation. Not only is it shaped like a heart, but it is the heart, the spiritual heart of the nation. And so I want to go to Cleveland. I think he's doing Cleveland and Cincinnati. Is that right? No. Cleveland. No, there's another one somewhere. That's what it said online. Maybe it's just Cleveland. Either way, he's doing it in Ohio, which is amazing. He's bringing in all these bands. He's bringing in these speakers. And it's going to be an opportunity where we, as a body of believers, get to celebrate the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in our midst. It's It's an amazing, I'm sure there are people all over the country who are going to be like, I want to figure out how to get to Cleveland this summer. Do you know what a miracle that is? That's crazy. He said, I sense something happening in the Cleveland area and I want to go and be part of it. I just want to reread that passage again. I tell you, many prophets and kings long to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. I'm in. I'm just determined to celebrate what is, to celebrate what God is doing. Could I spend the rest of my life talking about how the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Yes, I could. But you see, so much of it is what you look at. It's what you look at and what you focus on. This is an amazing opportunity for us in Cleveland happening in July. It's an amazing opportunity. The poster tells you how to get tickets. They're free right now. So I would get them as soon as possible to make sure you get free ones. I imagine they'll start charging at some point. But it's an opportunity. I would highly recommend that you do it. I've already gotten my tickets. I think you can get up to 5 tickets for free. So I got my 5 tickets. I'm like, I'm going to drag people there. God, I thank you. You set aside times for us to celebrate because you know how much we need it. And it's just so easy to get bogged down in the dailiness of life that we forget to celebrate. And so I thank you for this celebration of our 14th anniversary at Oak River Church. I'm in awe of how you've kept us for yourself. You've sustained us for yourself. And not only that, you're causing us to thrive. And I thank you for that. And we just celebrate your goodness today. We celebrate your goodness. And we just ask you to bless the food that we're about to have and help it to be a worthy celebration of your goodness. There will be lots of joy, lots of laughter, lots of fun, and that you will be honored by it all. In Jesus' name, amen.